let me know when I'm ready.
All right. Lord bless the word this morning. I've got such a burden today about the Holy Spirit and the need in the church today of developing a deeper awareness of His presence, His Spirit in us, and really developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I feel that's such a neglected area. You don't hear much about that. For many churches, I think they just kind of get stuck with tradition and rituals, and that's as far as they go. Many other churches learn to recognize the Holy Spirit, place value on the Holy Spirit, the gifts, but there's always that attempt to try to put the Spirit into the box that we call our church. It's kind of like He's a presence there, but we want to call on Him once a week when we get together, or two, three times a week, whatever. Kind of like now, live on our stage, the Holy Spirit. Let's have some gifts and some movings, and then we'll go home. Again, there may not be any relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not something for performance in a building, in a church. The Holy Spirit is given to each and every one of us to lead us into the truth. And for many, recognizing the Spirit, it's essential that we do, that we value the gifts, but that's just a starting point. From there, we learn to be taught by the Spirit, and then to be led by the Spirit. And that's what really brings about the transformation. If we look at how things began, and in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, God is Spirit, which means what? He's invisible. Not a problem, except we live in this physical realm and we've got these physical bodies and these natural minds. So in the Old Testament, how did God communicate with people? It was very difficult. So He gave them a law to follow, which didn't bring anybody closer to Him. He spoke through His prophets. And so when people would hear His voice and His word, that was their connection with God. Jesus came, and all of a sudden, He's the Word made flesh. And people had someone to relate to. Here is God in a physical form. Here is His living Word in a physical form. Great. So all these disciples are following this man, this person named Jesus. They finally can see what He looks like. Someone they can talk to, have conversations with. But how much did the disciples change being with Jesus? They weren't transformed. They didn't get what He was talking about. He said in John 16:7, "It's for your sake I must go." What was He talking about? Real change and transformation would come when they had the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was saying, okay, I'm going to make myself invisible to you and go back to my Father. But if I don't do that, there's no way you're going to grow. Because when I leave, I'll release my Holy Spirit in you. And that's where the changes take place. So if we don't develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I don't think we really grow too much. We can be very religious, and again, we can recognize and say, oh, the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful, look at the ministries we have. But if we don't internalize and really experience the Spirit within our own lives, we don't change that much. Now, the Spirit is in us to teach us. And I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 8, and you know this verse very well. Verse 11, part of the new covenant, it says, "They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least of the to the greatest of them." This is a powerful passage. It's talking about everyone knowing the Lord and the source of that knowledge coming from not people around you, but the Spirit that's within. Now, you're going to get a lot of teaching saying if you want to learn about God, you want to learn, you've got to go find someone that knows the Bible, attach yourself to an apostle, a prophet. All of these things are good, the gift ministries. But if you don't know the Holy Spirit within you and know the voice of the Spirit teaching you, all those ministries are not going to really do you much good.
well, wait a minute, I'm just going to follow an anointed ministry, and he'll teach me what the word says, and I'm listening to it, I feel the anointing. That word isn't going to transform you if you're not listening to the Spirit speaking to your heart. When it says you'll not need anyone to teach you, it doesn't mean we close our ears to one another or to teachers. It means we learn, we hear God and we change because we've learned to hear the Holy Spirit teaching us from within. We turn John chapter 14, I believe. Where are we going here? Oh, the ministries that God gives us are valuable, but they can never replace the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'm sad when I see that happening, when people get overly attached to the gifts and miss that. In John chapter 14, let's look at how this teaching takes place. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will abide and will be in you. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. When does this happen? When the lights go on, you believe Christ is in you. What does that mean? It means his Spirit indwells you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It's the Holy Spirit in us, that Spirit of truth, that releases us from that orphan spirit. If we don't get to know the Holy Spirit, he doesn't become our teacher. We can preach all we want and quote all the scriptures we want about God loves us and go to church and say all the right things. We walk out, we look in the mirror, and we feel cut off. We feel isolated. It's the Holy Spirit that removes that lie that we're orphans. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the Father's love for us and his desire to be fully connected with us. He says, I will come to you. Jesus is saying, I will come to you. How does he come to us? Through his Spirit. That's how he manifests himself. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. He's telling them, pretty soon I'm going to leave, and physically I won't be here, but you're still going to see me. You're still going to know me. How? By the Holy Spirit. You'll live because I live. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you and me, and I in you. Beautiful. Oneness, right? How does that become our reality? How do we know that he is in the Father, Father and the Son are in us? Only the Holy Spirit can reveal that and make that a reality to us. Without that awareness by the Spirit, we do our best to be one with people, to try to strive for unity. And as human beings, you know how well that works out. Everybody wants to get along with everybody, and as soon as you put people together, they clash, and there's disagreements, and there's differences. And no matter how many books we read, self-help books and psychology books, we just still can't get it. Why? We're created in God's image. It's good to read all those things, but we need the Spirit within us to create true oneness. And when the Spirit creates oneness, the differences we have with one another won't divide us. Satan won't be able to come in with his lies and accusations. But it's only the Spirit that can create that. Now, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and here's how the teaching goes. The Holy Spirit leads us into who Christ is, right? What does Jesus do? What does the Spirit of Christ do? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Holy Spirit leads us into our experience in Christ to be like the Lord. And as we do that, we know who the Father is. It's a beautiful flow. One leads to the other, leads to the other. So if we're going to be one with God and we're going to know who the Father is, it's the Holy Spirit that gets us to that point. That's what the teaching is all about. It's not just so you can read the scriptures and say, oh, I didn't get that verse before. I love that. When the Spirit illuminates something in the scripture. But the Spirit of truth that we have leads us into our experience in the Lord. And as we experience who He really is, we are experiencing our Heavenly Father. That's what we're, the teaching we're really looking for. 2 Peter 3:18. There's one more step with this. We allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, and then when He becomes the force that leads our life, that's when the teaching really transforms us. It's one thing to say, you can teach me. It's another thing to say, you can lead me. Now, why is this so difficult? Well, it's one thing to look at and say, well, I want to be led today. Do I go to church? Do I go to the beach? Do I go here? Do I go there? That's one level. It's another level when Jesus is talking to Peter in John 21. And He says, someday someone else is going to lead you, Peter, a way you don't want to go. He was talking about the Spirit. What else was He talking about? He was talking about Peter dying as a martyr. So leading of the Holy Spirit is wonderful, but then when you talk about that, martyrdom, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe I'll step back and let Him just teach me some more. What happens with us? I don't think we should be afraid of martyrdom. We don't see much of that today. But it's the same scary thing when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're turning over control to God. And you can say, well, what about my dreams? What about the things I want in life? Because you turn over control to God doesn't mean those things aren't going to come to pass. It does mean that you lay Him down at His feet. And you say, okay, Holy Spirit, if You're going to lead me, I lay this down. Father, You can resurrect it and make it happen, or You can take it away. Either way, I'm going to follow You. We let go of control, our self-will, of what we want. And that's where the leading becomes really a reality to us. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth, transformation, change, two things. Knowledge. Who's our source of knowledge? The Holy Spirit is our teacher. But also grace. Grace is not simply to the understanding that you're forgiven, and as wonderful as that is, that you're accepted by God, wonderful. Grace is an actual power that works in you. Grace is that power that will lead your life the way that God wants it to go, if you're willing. So we have these two components of the Spirit. Growing in knowledge and growing in grace. And to grow in grace means we're turning over the reins to God and saying, You take my life the way You want it to go. John 16:13. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. I looked at that. I haven't quite seen it this way. We want to know the truth, but it says He will guide you into all truth. So picture it this way. We think, okay, the Holy Spirit teaching me, I'm going to sit down and He's just going to speak. And it's like we get knowledge. I'll read a book and I'll get it. But with the Holy Spirit, there's a learning that goes on as He leads us. Guiding you means you're in motion. So as we turn our life over to God and we say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing for You to lead me, we're being guided. And that's how we experience truth. So that's where it leaves the level of just head knowledge, good ideas, and becomes something that's really a part of our life, something we can internalize and manifest. We have to have that component of being led by Him. So how are we led by the Spirit? It's kind of like, how do we get synchronized with the Spirit of God? If I look to my mind, I'll miss it almost every time. We don't think the way God thinks, right? We have a different mindset. But it's important if we're going to be led by God and be guided by the Spirit of truth into the experience of truth, we've got to be synchronized with Him. I think that's what we learn as we develop a relationship with Him. That's why, let that cry of your heart that you say, okay, Holy Spirit, You're in me. I'm glad I can speak in tongues. I'm glad I can prophesy. I love it when You move. But I want to know You as the person that You are. I want to know You in an intimate way. So that as You're leading, I'm synchronized with that leading. In my mind, there's something renewed that says, yes, that's God, and I can flow with you. One thing I've discovered is sometimes to be moving with the Spirit, you have to take a step forward in faith, and then the Spirit catches up and manifests. Sometimes you have to take a step back so the Spirit can go forward. I want to talk about that briefly. Stepping forward in faith, I think maybe that's maybe easier for us to do. We know about that in Jude, verse 3. Guess what chapter that is in Jude? Can anyone tell me?
One.
Jude only has one chapter. Okay, forget. The verse says, contend earnestly for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly for the faith. That's where you step out on faith and God with his power and Spirit backs you. But it also says, strive to enter into rest. How can I contend for faith and rest at the same time? Only by the Spirit. They're really not at opposites with each other. The contending for faith is not this frustrated, soulish drive that we have. Oh, I'm so agitated. Things have got to change. No, it's a passion in our heart for the Lord. That's that contending where we just love God and we just step out. Revivals. How have revivals started? By God. But I'll tell you what, and you know this, there have been people praying behind the scenes. People stepped out in faith when nothing was happening for a long period of time, and all of a sudden the Spirit falls and goes, wow, how did this happen? Well, there's a lot of people that are in prayer closets that no one will ever know about for that to happen. It's like the Battle of Jericho. Remember the Lord says, okay, I want you to march around the city for 6 days. On the seventh day when you march around, you blow the trumpets, great shout, what happened? A miracle. The wall came down. They won the battle. Now, pay attention to this. For 6 days they marched around the city, nothing happened. They obeyed God, but there was no spiritual manifestation. Okay, this is being in synchronized with the Holy Spirit, where we're called to step out on faith and obey. And we go, where's God? I'm doing what he's telling me to do. And when we do that, the Spirit of God will follow when we're obeying him and manifest. And that's what happened. The seventh day, God showed up, battle over. It says in Acts 5:32, the Holy Spirit is given, God has given to those who obey him. So this is this contending for faith, where we actually have to step out, and as we obey what God is speaking, the Holy Spirit moves in the way that God wants. Okay. The second is where God asks us to step back so the Spirit can go to the forefront. I think we have more of a problem with that. Stepping back into rest. Because what does that mean when you're stepping back into the rest? It's not that you're becoming passive and going, I don't care anymore, la-di-da. No. Stepping back into rest saying, I'm ceasing from my own labors. The only way this is going to happen is God's got to do it. It's an absolute positioning of trust that what's impossible for me to do, God will perform. Judges chapter 7, Gideon's army. Great example. You know the story? Gideon's called into battle. They're battling the Midianites. It's bad enough. You know how God had to convince him of his calling. Well, that's for another word. But finally he gets the courage. He's going to do it. He's got 32,000 men with him. He's looking at this saying, okay, God's given me some signs. I've got an army here. Good chance we can pull this off. God sends 22,000 away. Your army's too big. I don't want you guys thinking you're going to do this in your own strength. Here's Gideon, already underconfident, finally gets the courage to do this, and now he watches the majority of the army leave. 10,000 men. He's looking and saying, okay, the odds aren't quite as great, but okay, we still have 10,000. God pares that down to how many? 300. What's he telling Gideon? You may say, you look at this and say, well, there's no rest here. That's the only way Gideon could survive this. When God makes it impossible for you to do, you've got to step back into rest and say, I've got to stand still and see the salvation of God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit requires that. And I think that stepping back is tougher for us a lot of times than stepping forward in faith. Both require faith, but when you step back and rest in God, you're saying, I absolutely trust you to do this because there's nothing in me or my resources that's going to make this happen. So when Gideon went out with those 300, he knew the only way the Midianites would be defeated was that God would have to be on the scene working a miracle. Well, these are ways that we learn to flow with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will prompt us to step out in faith. The Spirit will prompt us to step back and to rest. And when we learn this rhythm, spiritual rhythm, we're getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's not settle to simply recognize where the Spirit of God is moving. Let's not settle to even to move that up a step further where the Spirit is our teacher. And we realize the only way we're going to learn is to know the voice of the Spirit within. Let's take it that next step. We say, Lord, I see you. I see the Spirit. You're my teacher. But you're going to be the one that leads my life and the way it's to go. When we turn over the reins to God like that, and the Spirit is the one that's leading us, that's where transformation can take place. That's where God can take these natural minds, these carnal minds that give us so much headache and are constantly resisting what God wants and what we really want in life. And these minds can be changed and we can be renewed into the mind of Christ. When we turn the reins over to the Holy Spirit to lead, we're in a place of openness where the Holy Spirit can invade our thinking and bring us into the mind of Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Father, just a very simple prayer. We are so thankful that we all carry your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we repent of either not recognizing or not valuing this tremendous treasure we have with us 24/7. Open our awareness to this gift. And Lord, we ask that you deepen our relationship with your Holy Spirit. That what's been invisible to us because of your Spirit within us will not only become visible to our lives, but it'll become more and more our reality, that which we live, which is your realm, your kingdom, to be alive in your presence. Holy Spirit, we want to know you in a more intimate way. Amen. Amen.